very familiar passage of scripture to us. Amen. Luke 15. Amen. There's a bathroom back there again. Luke 15. Amen. Today we want to look at the beginning of verse 25. All right. Amen. If you were with us last Sunday evening, we're picking up where we left off.
All right. All right.
Wow, that sounds like a sermon. Amen. All right. Are anybody there? Luke chapter 15, beginning at verse 25. Now his older son was in the field. And as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, "Your brother has come, and because he has received him safe and sound, your father has killed a fatted calf." But he was angry and would not go in. Therefore his father came out and pleaded with him. So he answered and said to his father, "Lo, these many years I have been serving you. I never transgressed our commandment at any time. And yet, you never gave me a young goat that I might make merry with my friend. But as soon as this son of yours came, who has devoured your livelihood with harlots, you killed a fatted calf for him." And he said to him, "Son, you are always with me, and all that I have is yours. It was right that we should make merry and be glad, for your brother was dead and is alive again. It was lost and is." Amen. You know, a few years back, when we, two or three years back, when we added the swing set in the playground area out there, and me and Winter Roars up here with the guys that assembled it, man, and they got this swing set all together, built it. Amen. And I wanted to make sure, you know, that the children were safe.
All
right. And that after they put that swing set together, it could stand.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. So I told Willa Roy, "We all want you to go up on that swing set. Because if it can hold you, it can hold the children." Amen. So it's better for you to go up there. If we got to lose one of us. Amen. And after he got up there, you know, saw it, it's all right. It's good and strong. Amen. I know it's okay. And because, amen, it was able to handle the way it was good and strong. Because it passed the test. But today I wanted to entitle this message, "Good and Wrong." Because sometimes you can be good and wrong. for this sermon,
a test.
So you can put your weight on it. And find out our weight. Let me say it like this. So we can put our weight on it. And find out maybe if we're good and wrong. Well, let's look into this sick. Now, some of y'all that weren't there last Sunday evening when we talked about the verses before, there's some other things I need to get you, because I need to take you from where we are now.
All right.
Where we are now in 2019, October, the day 13, I think. Take you from where we are now to the setting of Scripture. Right. So we can step into these verses.
Amen. Okay.
And really have an understanding of them. The context of what's taking place, Jesus has been hanging out with the wrong kind of people. And the religious establishment asks Jesus, why come you always hanging out with them kind of folk? The sinful, though. Sinners and publicans. You're supposed to be a rabbi, what they say, but we always see you hanging out with rough. They got rough lives. Why y'all ain't hanging out with them kind of folks, Jesus? And Jesus said, you know, Jesus just announced a lot of times. He'd give you a story. A parable. And then Jesus goes on, and we talk about this last, I'm going to go through it quickly. He goes on to talk about the man that had 100 sheep, and one of them went astray. Sheep left and the shepherd cared so much about it. And Saul was saying he left the 99. And went after the one that was lost.
Yes, sir.
And brought him back. Right. And when he brought him back, he brought his neighbors over and they all rejoiced because that which was lost was now found.
Yes, sir.
Secondly, after he did the lost sheep, he talked about a lost coin. A woman in her wedding jewelry, in her wedding necklace, had 10 coins. And one of those coins got lost.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And she swept it clean and throughout the house until she found it. And when she found it again, all of her friends celebrated. All of the ladies of the community came and celebrated with her.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
And in God's sake, because in both of these parables, that's how God feels when one of those people with rough lives,
yes, sir.
That have hit some rough pockets.
Yeah.
The ones that you're calling sinners and publicans.
Yeah.
That's how all heaven rejoice when they come home.
Yeah.
Because whether you know it or not, religious establishment, God is putting forth.
Amen.
Then it gets to this parable that's called the lost son or the prodigal son. Notice the progression. The lamb, necklace, son. There's a progression in value. Also, there's a progression because when he talked about the sheep was one of 99. The corn was one of 10.
Right.
And the son was one of 2.
Right. Amen.
So there's a progression in value. Throughout this. Now he comes to the son and talks about this young man that let me say it like this so I don't have to be wrong to read these things. There's an old show that used to come on. Most of y'all are here not even know what the show about unless you're about 50, 60 or more. So at least most of you out. But there used to be a show that came on way back when I was young called My Three Sons.
Okay. All right.
My Three Sons. She and mine.
my three sons, you know, they had the daddy on there, and he had three sons. And we saw all the things that his three sons went through. Well, you may not believe it, but in this text, there are actually three sons that I want to show you quickly. And the first one is what we call the prodigal son. And we're looking at the he was a rebel. So we look at the rebellion of the prodigal son.
Amen.
The one that said, hey, Dad, I want the portion of money that you will follow me when you die. But I can't really wait for you to die. It would have been good if you did already. I wouldn't have to come. Now you got to realize that most of they didn't have like a lot of wealth and banks and stuff back in these days. So most of their wealth was in their livestock and in their land. All right. So let's suppose that he had, say, like the dad had 1,500 acres. He had 1,500 acres and maybe 300. So what we have to do, when the boy came, he had to sell 500 acres.
All right.
And 100 cattle. So now it's an embarrassment to the community because he's doing this even before he died. He gives the 500 acres and the money that he gets from the 500 acres and the 100 cows to his son. This is acres that may have been in their family, but who knows how long?
Yes, sir.
And he gives it to his son. And all that and he gave his son, and his son go out, and prodigal means waste.
Yeah.
And all that the son wastes.
Yeah. Yeah.
And after he's wasted all that had been in their family maybe for years,
yeah,
and a third of all that he's wasted, we when he got a third, because the younger son got one third and the older son got two thirds. So he got his third. And he went out and wasted it. And the bad thing when he had wasted it, you know the story from last week, family came.
Yeah, amen.
So the double thing, you know. He's out, he's broke, and here comes family.
Amen.
Never can tell when family is looking around the corner.
Sure.
That's why you got to always prepare for family, just in case. Amen. But when you're not prepared, it's good to know there's a God in the prayer.
Yes, sir.
He ain't never caught off guard.
Yes, sir.
And you know the story. And he ended up in a hall of fame, which was not a good place for a Jewish boy.
Right.
This is about as low as you can get.
Amen.
I've thought about it for me. I said, you know, that's just like me working for Walmart in that sales check area.
For you, yes.
Y'all know I be happy. Boy, if you ever see me, you know I done went down for. If you know how much I hate that spot, you know I done went down as far as I can go. What part of it? And he had the part that he couldn't even cut over, make him sick. But he wanted to eat him in favor of the people. He loved the story. And then he came to himself.
Right.
Oh, Lord. Now, brother, let me share this with you. Try to. Don't wait till you lose everything to come to yourself.
Amen. Right. Amen. Lord have mercy. That's a good word.
Most of the time, he'll send you some warning. He'll send you some people to,
yeah, yeah,
to tell you to turn around.
You know,
last week when I talked about this, I said, you know, heaven was looking at it. It's just like we look at, when we look at football, you cheering for your team,
yeah,
and you,
yeah,
see them making some mistakes, and you think they can feel you through the screen.
Right.
Come on. But you know they can feel your energy.
Yeah.
Well, when heaven is pulling for us, you all, you can feel the energy of heaven in the conviction of the Holy Spirit.
That's real.
Yeah, it's true.
That's real.
And heaven is saying, oh, no. It was probably saying to that young man, no, don't waste your money on.
Yeah, don't do it. Right.
But but he resisted that inner impulse. See, God is going to, those of us that are believers, and sometimes even I think for unbelievers, he'll send a message.
Yes, yes, yes.
Say, hey, turn around. Turn around, don't drown. But I can make it. I done made it before. That's why they have to call a rescue. I want a rescue because you made it before. Because if you wouldn't have made it before, you wouldn't have a chance to try it.
Right.
But listen to what I'm saying. So he got there and he finally came to himself. And he remembered back home. We remember how good it was back home.
Yeah.
And he said, oh, we had food and enough at home. I mean, we had this big spreads. I can go home.
Yeah.
Now, no more. Daddy probably don't want me no more. I can go home and tell him, hey, I'm not coming back as a son. I just want to work for you. And the job he's really asking for, when you really look at it in the original language, he's not asking for to be a regular employee. He's not asking to be the kind of employee that got benefits. The kind of employee that got a place where he can stay.
Right.
He's just asking to be a seasonal employee.
Right.
Just let me work for you a little while so I can just make a little bit. And you know the story as he comes home. The dad sees. Now you got to understand, as I said last week, the patriarch of the family, not supposed to be running.
Right.
He just supposed to sit there in that chair.
Right.
And everybody's supposed to come to him and bow down and respect and honor him. But he gets up and he does something undignified by running after the son. Why does he run after the son? This is where. Because, see, what would happen? If you'd have messed up, blew it, wasted all the money, and the other folk, you know, the servants and the other employees and the other son, know what you done, they're not even going to let you get up to the farm.
Right.
As soon as you get on the property,
okay,
they're going to say, oh no, you got to go. You got to get up. You don't belong here no more. They're going to shoo you away.
Yes, sir.
And the daddy knew that. And he saw the boy about to get on the property, and he had to get there before the old that would shoo him away get there.
My God.
Yes, I'm not going to let him shoo him away. I've been waiting on him.
Yes.
So before that, they were just about to say, let's go get him, tell him he needs to get out of here. He don't belong here no more. He ain't got no reason here. But then, oh no. That's my boy.
Yes, sir.
So the dad beat him to it. He ran out there and beat him to it. And then, to add insult to injury for those that didn't want the boy on the lane. He said, bring a robe. Not just any robe. Now, go get the designer. Go get the designer robe. Go get the best robe. Restore his dignity. Not only that, go get the ring. Because the ring says you're part of the family, so you can sign a contract for the family. Wait a minute. He already got me the third of the stuff and wasted it. You want him to sign it? You want him to make a deal?
My God.
Go get some slippers.
Yeah.
Now, all of a sudden, he's trying to get his speech in. Father, I'm seeing it. Because he's been working on his speech.
Yeah.
All the way home, he's working on his speech. He said like this. Look like this. See, I'll get you in 7. You know, he wanted to know, he had a look
right.
He had worked on it. He got ready to say his speech. By the time the robe was already coming, there's somebody coming from the left with the rain. Here's the folk coming with the slippers. And then he said, don't kill the fatted cat. It didn't say a fatted. Y'all see that in the Bible?
All right.
It didn't say a fatted cat. It said the. Because there was a special cat.
Yes, sir.
All the other cat could roam around. But this one was kept in a special place. Because you didn't want him roaming too much. Because by keeping him confined, he gained more weight. And this is the one you had set aside for special huge celebration and great big party. Uh-huh. They go bring the fatty cat. One more to bring the fatty cat. Because we're going to have a barbecue.
Yes, sir.
All y'all know your man.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
And I was full, you know, I was just working on this seminar. I was in my imagination, you know. And I could see the Father. Because, you know, Father represents God. And I can just see God say, yes, he's going to get the brisket ready. And yeah. We're going to have a celebration.
Yeah.
He said, I said, God, just like that day, I'm going to go get what you said. And then they're going to get that brisket ready.
Uh-huh.
Oh. And then they celebrate. Yeah. And the older son's out there, the elder son had been out in the field working. And all of a sudden, he hear the music. Music. And here they dance. What? They dancing and got music on. Oh, this is, you know, I think this had to be, I don't know. But it had to be a brother. You know how brother when they barbecue you eat. You got the music on. Somebody at the grill. Did they break out with the line dancing? We know how we do it. And everybody was celebrating. He came up and heard all that. Say, hey, what's going on? What's going on? And then somebody says, your brother came home. Want to take my dad's stuff? I can't really say the words. I can't really say the words that I know, your elder son. It's not all in the Bible. Jesus can put it in the Bible, all of it.
Yeah.
He back? And dad is having a party.
Let me
read that to y'all. But he was angry. 27 says, and he said to him, your brother has come. And because he received the same sound, your father has killed him. He killed the fatty cat, the one that's out there by himself, the fat one. The one we say for big celebration. The one we say for the big party. The one I had feet. The one I've been looking after. The fatty cat. And they killed the fatty cat for the party, for the one that already wasted my daddy's land and cattle. But he was angry and would not go in. Therefore his father came out. His dad is not supposed to have to come out. He's supposed to go in. He got some rough balls, I tell you. You got the rebellious prodigals. But he can't get it. And he became the repentant prodigal son. And God is always about restoring. That's why you got the rebellious prodigal son and the repentant prodigal son. You got the restoring perfect one. He's always about restoring. And let me tell you, there's two kinds of justice. There's what's called retributive justice.
Right.
A retributive justice. And retributive justice seeks to punish the offender.
Sure.
But then there's restorative justice. Restorative justice seeks to bring the offender back where he can be a part of his family and community. When we look at this son here, I call him the pride person.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Now, because we want to look at the religiosity of the pride son.
All right, let's see.
He says, he's all about retributive justice. He should have been punished. Sometimes when it comes to justice,
pride to pray.
Yes,
but I told you before, pride is anti-pray. When you
retrieved to justice, I should have been cut off a long time ago. But because he acted with retrieved, with restored to justice, he allowed me another day. Brought me to the place that I am. Not because I'm perfect, not because I'm so good, but because he's so good.
Thank you.
I don't have no. It ain't about pride, it's about praise. He's the one that brought me, so you got to be careful. But this boy here, he pride. See here, because I want y'all to see. Because this is the one, when you put your weight on your situation, I want to make sure you're not good and wrong. So look at this. 27, he said, your brother has come because he has received him safe and sound. Your father killed a fatty calf. But he was angry and would not go in. Therefore, the father came out and pleaded with him. He's a perfect father, ain't he? So he answered and said, to his father, lo, these many years I've been serving you. I never transgressed your commandment at any time. And yet you never gave me a young goat that I might make merry with my friend. Put your weight on it. The first way to tell if you are like this prideful son is you have anger towards God. He was angry with the father. I've been out here working. That booger ain't did nothing. Wasted your land, all the money you gave to him, he ain't done nothing. I deserve, if anybody deserved the fatty calf, it should have been me. I'm telling you how this anger come out. It all just come out all the time, just straight out. But when you get in trouble, when something happens in your life that you feel like unfair, oh, I've been at church every Sunday. I'm tired. I've been serving you for years. Why you let this happen to me? Why you let this happen to my family? You get angry with God because of what's going on, because you think you deserve better. Prideful, that's the religiosity. When you're religious, you take care of your do's and don'ts, wills and won'ts.
Yeah.
You think, hey, when I take care of my do's and don'ts, wills and won'ts, right, then God owe me. You feel like you're entitled. I'm so entitled, I'm so good, should nothing ever happen to me and my family. I should always get good doctor people. I should never get a pink shit. Nothing should never go wrong. Because I've been faithful.
Jesus.
You might be good and right. Next, there's a superiority toward others. You done fell in the comparison trap. Said to his father, Lord, all these men that I make merry. But look at 30. But as soon as this son of yours. What? And he your brother. He don't say no, my brother. He don't assume my brother got here. He said, no, he ain't my brother. As soon as this son of yours came, who has devoured your livelihood with harlots. He didn't have to go there. He didn't have to out his brother. And how did he know the boy was with harlots? The boy was in a far country. They didn't have no telephone. They couldn't take to your brother with harlots. They couldn't have none of that. How did he know the boy was with harlots? Oh, as a man thinking in his heart.
Yeah,
oh. Yeah. I say, you know, I want to bet you out there with them. Because he was in a fire country. He couldn't see what the bar was doing. And you know, one way you tell that you're in the same type of situation is because rather than celebrating the restoration, you celebrate the wretchedness. You hear about something somebody did wrong, you say, cheat. You know, yeah. And then look what happened. And then, you know, this. It's like you celebrate when you're broken.
Yeah, glowing.
Jesus. You don't celebrate. He wouldn't know anything apart to celebrate the restoration. But in his word, it seems like he's celebrating the wretchedness. The rascality. He just wasted all his money on harlots. Harlots here, harlots there. We're harlots. In you, Daddy, kill the fatted calf for him. Something wrong with you, too.
Right.
He upset with the son in the day. Because the dad is celebrating the boy and got to stop trying to restore him, and he upset with him. Because he feels superior. And when you feel superior, you feel like you're so, you know what I mean, you did so much to the church. You look down, I'm not going to let go of this feeling I got until God punishes them all. I'm not giving. You think I'm going to give this boy a separate piece of my own land? Now, all this other land is supposed to be mine. And dad gave him a ring, so that means he got some authority over some of this other stuff. I might do it another third. I ain't happy about that.
What?
I ain't happy about dad being merciful. And because he's not happy, when he chooses not to be merciful, he's choosing to be miserable.
Yeah. Amen.
Everybody else in the party, they're in the line, dancing, got the barbecue on, brisket on the grill, chicken over there, lamb over here, everything, and they got the music. I don't know, they probably bought in. Daddy probably done bought in a band. Because you know, they ain't like they had a record player all day. So he done bought in a band, and everybody just sang and danced and having a good time. And he out there miserable.
Yeah.
That's why you forgive. You don't forgive just for the other person, but sometimes you forgive so you can leave your miserableness and enjoy the merriness.
Yeah.
I'm trying to tell you, when you don't forgive, it's like drinking strychnine and looking for somebody else to die. That person ain't worried about you. He out there miserable, the one that's been out, the prodigal son, who is now the repentant son, he just having a good time.
Yeah.
He finally lying, dancing, daddy right by him, having a good time.
Yeah.
And he out there miserable because he refused to forgive. Can't enjoy the Lord, can't enjoy God's presence no more, because he don't want to go into the party. Like you ain't never been able to shake. I wish I know I ain't gonna have no help in here. But I got to preach it like it's holding me. I have to forgive because I know I've been forgiven.
Yeah.
Every time I think about how much God has forgiven me, how many times I've blown and messed up, disappointed not only him but my own self.
Right.
I got to forgive others. The surprise says, Father, forgive us as we forgive our debtors. Because it's assuming if you got Christ in your life, you won't be forgiven.
Yes, sir.
So with him, you can't say, Father, forgive me as I forgive my debtors, if you ain't forgiven me. know the trespass against you. It's assuming something there that believers, true believers, have acted forgivingly and moved on. So he couldn't even get into the party. He missed a good party. Because he feels superior. But not only that. You're putting your weight on the job. Anger toward God, superiority toward others. He had spiritual pride rather than spiritual hunger. The one that came home because he was hungry. He needed, I'm hungry for what I had. And you realize, because this whole parable, y'all, is showing what happened with humanity in general. We started out, we had it all. When God created, in creation, we got it all. Then in the fall, we lost it all. Then at the cross, Jesus paid it all. And then at conversion, he restores it all. He restores it all. That's what happens to the whole of humanity. And when we're out there, before we get restored, he put eternity in our hearts. So when we're out there, one day we come to our senses, wait a minute. We come to the person he created us, we say, wait a minute. There gotta be something else. Gotta be more to life than this. There gotta be a better life than this. There gotta be something else, because God has put eternity in your heart. Even though you don't realize you got a home, all of a sudden you're trying to look for something beyond this place. Because there ain't nothing in this world that can give you what you need.
Yeah.
And you realize only God can give you what you need. Put your weight on that. But not only that, I'm going to close this thing out. You're so busy doing for God that you don't have time to be with God. Religious people, they work hard. I got to do this for God. I got to serve God. I got to be here for usher board practice. I got to be here for this. I got to be here for this. And all that stuff is good. Saying it's bad. But when a good thing becomes the ultimate thing, it becomes a simple thing. You ought not be so busy serving God that you can't spend time.
Amen.
I love preaching and teaching. I love preparing sermons and doing the research and putting them together and coming up with outlines. But I can't let that replace my time with God.
Yes.
What I do for God shouldn't take my time that I'm supposed to spend with God. It happens in marriages.
Amen.
You know, on the honeymoon, you spend time with the person.
It's true.
But when the honeymoon is over, you're still doing for the person, but you're not with the person. Yeah, yeah. Still going to work. Pay bills. Near all the other stuff in life, but not like it was on the honeymoon when you were with the person. There should be a balance between with and for.
Amen.
Serve for, but you also need to spend time with. So that's what they're doing. And the same thing. You remember when John writes a letter, he had a letter from God to the church at Ephesus.
Yeah, yeah.
He said, I know your works. Y'all good workers.
Yeah, amen.
Oh, y'all work hard. But I got one thing against you. You don't love me like you used to.
Yeah, yeah, no.
You don't spend time with me like you used to.
Yeah.
I'm not as important as I used to be.
Amen.
So you're doing stuff for me, but you don't have time to be with me.
Yeah.
If that's you religious. You're religious. Problem is, not only do the rebellious need to repent, like the prodigal son, but the religious need to repent.
Amen.
But they don't know they need to repent because they think they're good. I'm good. Don't need church. Don't good. Or you need church. I'm good. They don't need. I need a little God. never did really like that song. But I need a whole lot of God. Look, God, they gonna make you a whole boy. If I just had a little God, I'm gonna mess up a whole lot. When I got a little God, I'm gonna make a big mess. But if I get a lot of God, like I say, we keep with a little mess.
I'm just being honest with y'all. Y'all don't want to be honest with me.
Amen. But the more God I got, the less mess I make. So I get to give you a look, Jesus. Oh, Lord, I look, Jesus, they're going to help me. I need a... When you mess up like that, I need a whole lot of Jesus. I need him all from you. Amen. I need all the Jesus I can get. Son, all you gotta do is ask. What can I do for you? You can ask for no water. You can ask for a cat. You didn't ask no fatty cat. You could have had the same kind of intimate relationship with me that your brother is now enjoying. All you had to do that. All you had to do was come. Yeah. But you're too busy working, trying to earn. You could have enjoyed my love, but you were so busy working, trying to earn my love, trying to achieve my love. And that's not the way you get my love. My love comes by grace. You can't earn it. You can't achieve it. You got to just receive it. And then, I'm glad this thing ain't no moving because he stopped. What happened? Jesus tells him the story and he stopped.
Transfer.
bring how to do church, the how to do church bag.
Yeah.
The how to do church bag. Now we don't even do church like this. You open the how to do church bag. Say, wait a minute. Y'all ain't doing that right. Let it and then come around to sisters. Y'all ain't nothing. You don't call it.
Yeah.
This is where it's supposed to be done. Oh no! We used to do that about 20 years ago, but we the Lord just grew up past it. Don't bring that back to here.
That's good.
That's why I like folks that just get transformed. Folks don't know nothing hard about taking on the business. Amen. They just do it with the drug paraphernalia last night.
Right.
Say, I need to turn around, I need to get my life right.
Yeah.
And they say, I'm going to stop it, I need to go to church. And they come in on the street, don't know what, don't go with them. Be quiet, talk to church.
Say
the wrong thing. I hear the one before. Yeah, I mean, well, one time they preached, and the pastor that preached a good sermon, and he was, you know, he got the street, he didn't know no better. He said, Pastor, that was a hell of a sermon. That's the kind of folks you
heard.
And he ain't perfect. But you want to see God transform a life. That's where the dark comes from. When you see somebody come through with all kinds of crazy stuff going on, and you see God take hold of that life, and God change that life. From the guttermost to the uttermost. And then when you come to church, you start seeing people being changed. Transformations. Transfers don't get me happy. But when I see transformation, transfer, you just transfer somebody's judging life to another place.
Yeah.
When I somebody transfer,
yeah.
Oh, Lord, they're coming in. You're wild. They're a little rough around the edges. But that's the kind of folk Jesus hung out with.
Yeah.
That's the kind of folk we need to hang
yeah.
out with. Because
yes,
you get to see Jesus change.
Yeah.
And you see him, amen. I wish they had, like, we all got to put him before.
Yeah.
And then after.
Yeah.
You go, that's where you came in. It's in our mind.
Yeah.
And when you look back how a person came in, and then you see where they are now.
Yeah.
Worship him
yeah.
because you know you were just not talking about what you thought or heard somebody say God can do because you didn't see him.
Yeah.
When they come off the street, you can say, we're going to do this. You know, so whatever vision God has given you, whatever project they might give you, and it's all right, okay. We ready to go.
Ready to go.
And it's happy. Happy. But you know sometimes when you get one that's been in the church a long time, they got objection.
Yeah.
That's not the way we do that, Pastor.
Lord have mercy.
That's not the way we do that.
My Lord.
We ain't never done that before.
Amen.
I know that's why I want to do it.
Exactly.
Right? Amen.
Because when we keep doing what we already done, we ought to keep being where we've always been. I'm trying to move to another place. And it's easy to take folk on it. Because they're just hungry.
Yeah,
that's true.
The Father of God. They're just hungry for life change. They're just hungry for a better place.
Yeah.
With others, they kind of complacent.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm good. I just want to do my. They want to do Sunday morning. Get home, make some games. Go to work.
We'll
get there, we'll be back next week. I think I'm going to join something. I ain't sure how good it was. I'm going to join something.
Lord have mercy.
I go, whoa, before you join something, get out. What you join God? Before you join the choir, before you join the usher board, before you join any other, join God. Get with God. We already got enough folk joining.
Yeah.
We need you to join God. Join God, sir.
Yeah.
And then let him lead you.
Right.
Okay, you think I'm thinking about it. You know, I don't know. Join God and ask God where He wants you to be. The place He got for you.
That's
the
real.
Purpose He got for
that's
you.
That's real.
Even if you want to be at this church.
That's real.
Yes. Thank you, Lord.
For as we know, we never went into the party.
Lord have mercy. Lord have mercy.
He missed the celebration. Mm. He missed experiencing the intimacy of God. He'd rather stay on the outside.
Lord have mercy.
No, I'm not going to forgive. No, I'm not going to humble myself.
Lord have mercy.
No, I'm not going to give up. I'm going to do what I want to do when I want to do what I want to do and how I want to do it.
Lord have mercy.
God, if I can earn help by doing good work, I don't need your grace.
Lord have mercy.
I want to work my way to heaven. When I get that head, hey, we want him, but I'm better than most people.
God,
you can't get it like that. If you want to get to the celebration, you got to say, on the way, there's only one door. There's a door of grace. It's a door of grace. Can't earn, can't achieve it. Can't come into it. Door of grace. So now, my Jesus, I think you got to be quiet. Let the Holy Spirit talk to you. Because the question is not Jesus. Why do you hang out with them? Them rough people. Them sinners and hooks. When I think that, it seems like the Spirit is asking me, why don't you hang out with them?
Yes, yes. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father.
Why aren't you concerned about them?
Lord, have mercy.
Why aren't you reaching out to them?
Lord, have mercy.
Come on.
Lord, have mercy. Thank you, Father.
My Lord, my Lord. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God.
Thank you.